Monday Manna Bible Study. We are ready to receive you, so come on in so we can get started. We're going to get started whether you come in or not, but we hope you're joining us tonight.
And we do praise God for each of you as we are yet moving closer and closer to the end of this month. This is the, 27th? And it'll only be a few more days. Friday, I believe, will bring a close. When?
Thursday
will bring a close. Friday will bring a new month coming in.
The last month of the year.
Last month of the year, December. And so we yet praise God for sustaining us up until this point. And we thank him for continuing to cover us and provide for our every need. And we're certainly grateful for how he blesses us even in spite of ourselves.
Yes.
And so we know we serve an awesome God, and he is indeed worthy of all of our praise.
Yes,
and so we wouldn't have time enough to thank him for all that he's done in the short time that we're going to spend tonight. But we ought to be still in Thanksgiving mode. Wouldn't you agree with
Absolutely.
Me, Lady Kim? And I know that many people... Thanksgiving has a variety of expressions and meanings to people. To some, it's a time for gathering and it's time for food and for football. For others, it's a time where they really lament about those who have passed on before them and they're no longer at the table. And then to others, it's a time of service and just being appreciative by, you know, doing something to help somebody else.
Amen.
And so we ought not let this season pass us by or the opportunity to give God praise and thanks for what he's done. And then we don't have to wait until November to start preparing our hearts and minds for giving thanks to God.
Right.
The song says every day is a day of Thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
It says take the time out. Mm-hmm. Is that the way it go? You ought to take the time.
You ought to take the time to praise the Lord. I don't know. Take the time to glorify him.
Glorify the Lord today. Today. That's right.
Take the time to glorify the Lord today. Every day.
Every day is a day of Thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, Lady Kim, we still have about a half a refrigerator full of leftovers.
Well, we thank God for that.
I know, and you helped us with those leftovers on yesterday, even in your sermon.
Yes, God.
And I have no problem with leftovers. I think I still got a couple of pieces of meat that I cooked on the grill in there. They go by the name of hot dogs. I think they're still in there, so we shall see. But we praise God for each of you tonight, and even as you're still coming on, we're going to look at the 29th chapter of 2 Chronicles tonight. And this is a very interesting chapter. We'll see Hezekiah really stepping up and providing leadership. And as I was reading, and we're going to have prayer after this, as I was reading it, Lady Kim, it really spoke to me about how important it is for us as leaders to lead by example and not by exception. All too often, leaders want to be an exception to the rule, but we have to still be in Bible study. We have to still be in Sunday school. We must still be an active participant in the life of the church and not think that everything evolves around us because we have a leadership position. Mm-hmm. But we should be in the midst of everything that's happening so that when it does come time for people to receive you or for people to embrace you or for you to embrace others, then you have a clear sense of presence because you have spent time with them.
Amen.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
And that can go leadership, pastoralship, however you want to phrase that. But it's important that you spend time with people and you spend time doing the same things that those whom God has placed you over. You lead by example. That's all I'm trying to say.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And you know, it's easier when you lead by example because people are more likely to follow a leader that they see, you know, that has their hands in the work.
That's right.
You know, or who understands the work.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what leadership is all about. When you come alongside of the people and you participate.
That's right.
Instead of, you know, telling people what to do, and expecting them to do the job.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And it's a saying that don't do what I say, but do what I do. Or don't. How does that go? You've ever heard?
Well,
that?
You know, when we were growing up, mm-hmm. you know, your parents used to say, "Do what I say, do." You mm-hmm. know, and so not as I do. You know, they had a lot. Some of our parents had bad habits.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
Years ago, I remember growing up in a household where both of my parents used to smoke cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
and they used to tell me, "Don't smoke."
Okay,
you know, and I say, "Why not?" You know, you smoke
because I say it so.
And
much.
They say, "Well, you need to do as I say and not as I do."
Okay,
so
okay.
But it's better if you are the example. Mm-hmm. If you lead by example, you can say, "Do as I do." And do as I say,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And feel confident about it.
Right, because you know that you're doing the right thing, that they can follow your example.
Okay. Well, you know, the question on everyone's lips right now, of mine, Lady Kim, they want to know, did you follow
No,
your
I
parents,
did not. Yes, I did.
Okay. you had a slight relapse right there, didn't you?
Well, and you know what? Sometimes when they say, "Do as I say and not as I do," that makes you more curious that you want to do what they do.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, everybody has to take their own path and go mm-hmm. down their own road. And yeah, I tried to smoke cigarettes. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work too well. But eventually both of my parents stopped smoking. But again, that's just an example
mm-hmm.
that you need to
lead by example.
Lead by example, absolutely.
Right. And that's part of what we're talking about here tonight in this. For those of you just joining, Lady Kim and I are just talking about Thanksgiving and about leading by example. And really what I see in this 29th chapter of Second Chronicles as Hezekiah, he's setting a tone and he's setting things in place where it's important that we catch this, that we lead by example and not except by exception. And mm-hmm. so all too often leaders want to be the exception and they don't want to really get their hands and their feet dirty in terms of doing the work. And you talked a little bit about that servant leadership piece on yesterday,
mm-hmm.
but that's key for a good leader has to be a great follower.
Absolutely.
And people will appreciate that. All right, let's go ahead and have prayer as we prepare for this time together tonight. God, we're extremely grateful for just your presence, your peace, your power, and your protection. We thank you, dear Lord, for how you yet continue to sustain us in the midst of everything that we're going through. We're grateful for your keeping power and for how you continue to look beyond our faults and you get right to our needs. And God, we thank you for your grace amazing. And we're certainly grateful for you continually forgiving us of our sins. And so we ask now, God, that even as we prepare for this time of study, that your word will indeed be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And that you would just allow us to feel your power and your presence even during this time together. We're grateful for those who are viewing virtually. And those who will watch this particular Bible study later, even if it's in segments, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. We love you and we honor you. And we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray. And those who love God, give him a thumbs up right there, even Amen. Virtually. Come on, somebody give God a thumbs
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
That's right. All right, Lady Kim, well, we are certainly grateful again for another powerful time in the Lord on yesterday.
Amen.
You know, we had people traveling and probably those who were visiting and some traveled out of town. Others traveled to Memphis to spend time with family and friends. And we're certainly grateful for your family being here over the Thanksgiving holiday. Did you enjoy being with
I
family?
Did. I always enjoy being with my family.
Okay, okay.
You know, I have a small family. I have one brother and one sister, you know, and I only have one first cousin. I have mm-hmm. a lot of second cousins and third cousins and distant cousins.
Okay.
But I only have one first cousin. and that's my my mother's brother's daughter.
Okay. Okay.
He has another son, but we don't know where he is. We haven't seen him since he was a child, or we were children, so mm-hmm. we don't know where he is. So I really just have one first cousin.
Okay.
So on my father's side, he had one sister, and she didn't have any biological children.
Wow.
So, but her brothers, she had 8 brothers. They all had multiple children. They had large families. And so my father had a lot of first cousins. So I have many, many second cousins,
mm-hmm.
you know. But yes, so one first cousin, and every time that we're together, we have a wonderful time. We talk trash, and we even sat at the table after Thanksgiving dinner and talked about some of our lineage, talked about some of our heritage and who was related to whom.
And, mm-hmm.
So it was,
and that's part of it, isn't it? That's
yes.
part of the gathering. And so we praise God that your sister was here, as well as your cousin and her family, and spent the whole entire weekend with us, and left Sunday after church, heading back to Atlanta and then Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're grateful mm-hmm. for that, I tell you. And so let's talk a little bit about the worship experience on yesterday. Lady Kim, you really outdid yourself yesterday.
Well, thank you.
You did.
I was a little worried because it was so quiet.
Mm-hmm. No, they were listening. And I think the title of the sermon was one that really kind of allowed people to be ready to receive, so that they could understand mm-hmm. where you were trying to come from with that. Lunch and Learn really has, and you said it in the beginning, the connotation that is like our new members class, mm-hmm. where we get some time with them, and also get a chance to hear from them and to get to know them in a fellowship mode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what you said. I might be paraphrasing what you actually said. But.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so I tried to tie in our Lunch and Learn with the text that we talked about mm-hmm. on yesterday.
Okay.
That when we have lunch with people, but they also learn valuable lessons mm-hmm. and what we have to offer.
Okay.
And so I tie that in with that scripture from Matthew the 14th chapter, verses 13 through 21, where Jesus taught his disciples a valuable lesson by providing lunch. It really wasn't lunch. It was really dinner.
Okay.
But, you know, had to do a little spin on things. It was dinner and learn. It wasn't lunch and learn, because mm-hmm. it said it was dusk.
Right.
You know, it was starting to get dark outside.
Well, that's a powerful passage of scripture that you used, and how you opened that up to help us understand what Jesus was really, the lesson he was really trying to teach.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, God has a way of making things happen. And when we don't really understand how it's going to turn out, but he'll drop a nugget right there in the midst of sometimes it's our confusion. Many times it's in the midst of a blessing, and it seems as if something is not right, you know, because these disciples, just like us, no doubt probably were struggling with trying to figure out how they gonna feed all these people, all mm-hmm. these folks out here. Mm-hmm. And it didn't even include the women and children
right.
in that number.
Right.
So it could have very easily been 12,000 people on the
yes.
hillside.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was the passage, as Lady Kim opened it up and shared it with us and put it out in front of us, as it relates to the 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread.
Right.
Let me ask you this, Lady Kim, and I'm not going to ask you to give us an overall review, but what was it that you, after you preached, that you probably thought, well, I should have said this, or I should have said more about that? Was there anything that kind of struck you in that manner?
There was, but it flipped out of my mind right through here, because I was thinking about it last night. Come back to that.
Okay, all right. And about what?
It'll come to me as I talk.
As you talk.
As I talk.
Man, I know we don't A lot of people may think we rehearse what we're going to say when we come on, but we don't. And so, you know, I could have maybe mentioned that to you earlier and you would have had something, but I'm just thinking as you were processing, you know, each time we have an opportunity to preach, we reflect on what we could have said or what we didn't say or what we, you know, missed. And the Spirit will continue to speak to you even as you, like you said last night, we're getting rest. You can still hear God speaking to you through what you have already shared. And so he always makes a way for you to have some more to say.
Yeah, amen.
And you don't really finish your sermon. Right. You know, it's always more to the sermon that many times we're not able to capture.
Yeah. And I know what it is now. I thought I could have renamed it Living on Leftovers.
Okay, okay.
You know, because I talked about the 12 baskets full that were left over.
Okay.
And from those baskets full left over, they could have still fed multiple people.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, and then I thought about the food that I throw away sometimes from the refrigerator, that the food that is thrown away, how many people can, you know, be sustained on that food.
Absolutely.
You know, as people, we, especially in the United States of America, or especially middle class people or working class people, we have food to eat. We go in our refrigerator and we get whatever we want to eat and we fill our stomachs, never really thinking about there's somebody out there that does not have something to eat. I work in the school district, Memphis Shelby County Schools, where breakfast and lunch are very important meals for those students because many of those students go home and they don't have anything to eat that night for dinner. And they come back to school that next day hungry, counting on breakfast being served and lunch being served. And so I remember being a teacher in the classroom and one of the students was punished because he would take food off of other students' trays, you know, but that child was hungry. And instead of punishing that child for taking food off of other children's trays, why not just get him another tray of food to eat? So many times we have to really rethink what it is that children do and why they do it.
Okay, okay. That's good. Living off of leftovers and how important that is. And we were right in the middle of Thanksgiving, 2 days removed, or however many days it was from Thanksgiving. And that's almost the go-to after Thanksgiving, is leftovers.
Leftovers, yeah. Amen. We're going to be eating leftovers for a few days.
Say what?
And Sister Ethel Thompson, I see her on the feed. She came up to me after service and said God had spoken to her on the way to church on what it was that she was supposed to do to help out. And so I'm so thankful, Sister Ethel, that God even confirmed what, and that you were listening to his voice.
That's right.
And that you responded. And what I said on yesterday was confirmation to move you from where you are to where he wants you to be, because he wants all of us to be actively engaged in helping people.
That's right.
In helping people to be better, in helping people to move out of poverty, to help people move from where they are to where he wants them to
That's
be.
That's good. That's good. So really it was almost like a message of conviction as well as challenge, a message of encouragement as well as a message that called forth for an action on behalf of those who were yet present, as you even talked about that servant leadership piece and how important it is for us to be engaged, as you were just saying, in terms of using our gifts to help, even in the local body of Christ called church, to you know, show some love toward those who are less fortunate, those who are relying on someone to have compassion on them.
Amen.
And you mentioned the compassion that oftentimes is missing in how we have church, but really don't know that much about service.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I say, you know, sometimes we get to a place too soon in our lives.
Right.
And what I meant by getting there too soon is, you know, sometimes we jump into things too soon. Mm-hmm. And when I reference that, you know, the crowd of people, if you look at where they were situated on the Lake of Capernaum, around Capernaum, and you could go around the lake and go across the Jordan River. It wasn't hard to do that for the people to go there on foot. They could see Jesus going across the lake. And as he went across the Lake of Gennesaret, they ran around the shore of the lake over the Jordan River and to the town of Bethsaida. And they were there waiting for Jesus when he got to the other side of the lake. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
They knew where Jesus and the disciples were headed. And so they ran on foot and got there before he did. And I just kind of reference that to say that sometimes we get to a place too soon in life, mm-hmm, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we realize that we're there too soon because there's nothing really there that we can do about it, you mm-hmm. know. But my point was that we need to wait on Jesus to show up.
Right, right.
And one of the ways we can wait on Jesus to show up, I didn't say this in the message, is through prayer
mm-hmm.
or through fasting
okay.
or through
okay.
Bible study
okay.
or through Sunday school. We can wait to see what God is going to do in the, you know, in our time of getting to where we are too soon.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus does show up, amen, uh-oh. He'll make a difference.
Won't he do it?
He'll make a difference in our lives, because as soon as he got to the other side, he looked at the crowd and he had compassion on them. They had sick people among them. They,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it said that when he got there, he began to heal the sick and feed the hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, we know he fed the hungry because
he had compassion on
them. He had compassion
right,
on them.
Right,
yes.
Right. All right. Well, anything else you'd like to share as we prepare to go into 2 Chronicles, this 29th chapter?
Just that passage in Matthew is so rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about all the parables in the book of Matthew that preceded this particular story
okay.
In the Bible. And this story is mentioned in Mark and in Luke.
Right.
So check out Mark and Luke. We looked at the book of Matthew, but it's also recorded in Mark and Luke, and they have a different kind of spin on things.
Right.
But I took Matthew's account because I could expound on a little bit. But Matthew's account, the chapters preceding it, it talked about Jesus's teaching and all the miracles that and the parables that he talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Preceding this, and then right before he went, you know, in the boat to the other side, John the Baptist's cousin was beheaded.
Mm-hmm.
This girl said, you know, she wanted John the Baptist's head on a platter, and so they beheaded him and gave it to her
gift.
As a gift.
Yeah, yeah.
What a horrible thing to have as a gift. And so when the disciples heard about it, got news about it, they went and told Jesus. He was distraught. He got in the boat to go to have peace mm-hmm. and quiet mm-hmm. and kind of contemplate it. But when he got in the boat, by the time he got to the other side, the people were there.
They were already
and
there.
Instead of saying, go away,
right.
the Bible said he had compassion on them.
Right.
So you talking about some things I should have said. Mm-hmm. You know, I could have talked about some of those parables, because I said he talked about the weeds and the seeds and
mm-hmm.
the, you know, and the pearl and
right.
the and treasure and mm-hmm. the, yeah, all mm-hmm. of that. And
right.
so people, that probably went over a lot of people's heads, because not everybody is a Bible scholar
mm-hmm.
or not everybody has... remembers what happened in the book of Matthew.
Okay, and not an avid Bible reader.
Right, right.
It's one thing to read it, and it's another thing to study And so it's important that we study the Word of God and not just rely on reading it. You follow me?
Yes.
Because that's what Timothy tells us. Paul was telling Timothy to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, that can rightly divide the word of truth. And many times that doesn't take place because we rely on other people to feed us what we mm-hmm. what we need, and it's based upon what how God is speaking to them versus how God can speak to you
right.
in terms of your understanding of the passage at that particular time.
Absolutely.
Because it's different levels of maturity and mm-hmm. throughout the life of the congregation, and some people, it did go over their head. Mm-hmm. Other people, they caught it. Other people decided to put forth an action mm-hmm. to hearing the word and decided to make a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes. And that's why I told them to go home and read mm-hmm. the first 12 chapters of Matthew.
Right.
Because they'll get a better understanding of what I was talking about.
That's right.
You know, when I said, you know, Jesus was out teaching, and after he taught, you know, and ministered, he performed miracles. Mm-hmm. He would teach. He would do a parable. He would perform a miracle. You
okay.
know, he would perform a miracle. He would tell them a parable, and you know, he would minister to people. So mm-hmm. it was, there was a pattern there. So, but when we got to this particular one, he gave a hands-on lesson
right.
to the disciples on what they should do. And the first thing he needed them to do was to use what they had.
Right.
So he told them to go amongst the crowd, you know, find what's there. Use the resources that you have. We're too busy talking about what we don't have.
Okay.
Or focusing on what we don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you have? Use what you have at your disposal. And the first thing that Jesus did when he got those two fish and those five loaves, he gave thanks.
Mm-hmm.
He said a prayer to his Father in heaven. And so when we have meager resources, the first thing we need to do is say a prayer.
Okay.
A prayer of thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for what I do have. Now, God, would you make provision so that all can be satisfied? And then after that, they were obedient. Jesus told them, tell the folks to sit down. You know, and as they sat down in groups, he told them, He started breaking it up, breaking little pieces. I can see him breaking a little crumb here and a little crumb there and a piece of fish here mm-hmm. and a piece of bread there and feed the people. And he continued to break and give, and everybody got a chance to eat. And the amazing thing is that everybody got full. They got full off of some broken pieces.
Two fish and five loaves.
Everybody got full off some broken pieces of fish and bread. And then there were 12 baskets fulls that were left over. That blew my mind right there. 12 baskets fulls left over.
Right, right. So even in our desperation and not completely understanding the blessing that's ahead of us, God, even in the midst of that, will not forget about us and bless us.
Amen.
To show himself strong on our
behalf. That's right. And we're too busy looking at what we do, what we don't have,
right.
instead of looking at what we do have. If we're just obedient and ask God to bless what we do have
mm-hmm.
and use what we do have. And I told you yesterday, little becomes much when we place it in the master's hand, because God's math is not like our math.
Okay.
Our math is 1 + 1 = 2. God's math is 2 plus 5 equals 5,000 plus 12 baskets full. I saw Dr. Kweli said that. So that's God's math.
That's
God is
God.
Exponential, multiplies exponentially. We just add 1 + 1 = 2.
Okay.
So to God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
You know, that he gives us what we don't even deserve.
Isn't that something?
If he gave us what we deserve, we wouldn't have nothing, would we?
That's right.
Amen. We wouldn't have a thing.
Somebody type leftovers. Somebody just type leftovers.
I
thank God.
I can live off of leftovers.
I thank God for the leftovers. And I thank God for continuing to pour out even in my doubt and in my unbelief. And how if we just be obedient and follow the mandate, then great things are yet in store.
Amen.
Somebody's type leftovers. Come
leftovers.
On.
Leftovers. Hallelujah.
That's
Jesus.
Right. All right, Lady Kim, let's spend a few minutes here in 2 Chronicles 29. And as I was indicating earlier, Hezekiah has taken over the kingship, and now he's providing leadership to the nation. And it's important for us to have something that we can take away from this and not just let it be all about what Hezekiah did and how we just see that and not benefit from it ourselves.
Right.
And how leaders must lead by example and not exception. And I think often, as the writer is saying, we kind of drift as leaders. And we see that evident in the patterns that have occurred up until this point. And many times those who took on the reins of the kingship, they started out one way and then they ended up going an opposite direction of where they started. Mm-hmm. And so it was here that Hezekiah is really trying to refurbish reestablish, reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and gets everything back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important that the mandate that God gives us has stay intact. Mm-hmm. You know, many times we drift away from the main message of what we ought to be about doing, and we lose sight of who's given us the power to do what we do. And we think many times it's about us. I'm talking about leaders now. And many times we think it's about us. And we start thinking people are coming because of us. No, it's because of God in you.
Mm-hmm.
And the power and the obedience of you using what God has given you in order to help those who are in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So this is going to be interesting. I think it's about, 36 verses?
I think it's 35 verses.
35 verses
here.
But Hezekiah starts out on trying to reestablish and reaffirm, and then he tries to make sure that he sets things back in order, because
mm-hmm.
everything had kind of fallen off the rail,
mm-hmm.
and he ends in a powerful way, and he talks about that. But let's just go ahead and maybe read about 15 of those verses and see what God is saying.
Okay, I'm reading from the NRSV version. We're in 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. He reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, daughter of Zechariah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, just as his ancestor David had done. The first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and assembled them in the square on the east. He said to them, "Listen to me, Levites. Sanctify yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord, the God of your ancestors, and carry out the filth from the holy place. For our ancestors have been unfaithful and have done what was evil in the sight of the Lord our God.
Mm-hmm.
They have forsaken him and have turned away their faces from the dwelling of the Lord and turned their backs. They also shut the doors of the vestibules and put out the lamps and have not offered incense or made burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord came upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of horror, of astonishment, and of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. Our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are now in captivity for this. Verse 10, now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord, the God of Israel, so that his fierce anger may turn away from us. My sons, do not now be negligent, for the Lord has chosen you to stand in his presence, to minister to him and to be his ministers and to make offerings to him. Then the Levites arose, Mahath, son of Amasiah, and Joel, son of Azariah, of the sons of the Korahites, and the sons of Merari, Kish, son of Abdi, and Azariah, son of Jehaliel, and of the Gershonites, Joah, son of Zimah, and Eden, son of Joah, and of the son of Elizaphan, Shimri, and Jeurel, and the sons of Asaph, Zechariah, and Mathaniah, and the sons of Heman, Jehuel, and Shimeah, and the sons of Jeduroth, Shemaiah, and Uziel. They gathered their brothers, sanctified them, and went in as the king had commanded by the word of the Lord to cleanse the house of the Lord.
Okay, that's 15 verses.
Yes.
All right. Well, we see that Hezekiah is starting out on the right foot.
Yes, he is.
He is, of course, it says in that first, in the second verse, that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, mm-hmm. according to all that his father David had done. Mm-hmm. And so when they're referring to David here, they're referring to the ancestral line.
The ancestral lineage, yes.
And how mm-hmm. the promise that God had established with David is still in force.
Yes.
And so one of his first acts was to make sure that he purified the temple.
Right.
He cleansed the temple.
Yes.
And it said it took out all of the waste and all of the things that had corrupted the temple. And he called on some of the Levites to really go in and kind of change their primary focus, because Levites had prescribed responsibility mm-hmm. in the temple.
Mm-hmm.
But when we read this, we see that he's challenging them to go in and burn the incense and make sure that everything was purified in the temple.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things they had neglected to do with the last king, and we talked about lineage. Now, we have to understand how people came to be kings. Mm-hmm. You have to be born into into that position. You didn't just get to be king.
No.
You had to be born into that position.
There wasn't no election and all
right.
that. Right.
Not like we elect a president.
Right,
you
right.
know. It's still like that over in England. You have to be born into the
That's
monarchy
right.
in order to reign, be the next one to be the reign on the throne.
Right.
And so that's how it was back in the Greco-Roman world, that you had to be born into that position.
Okay.
And so it was usually the oldest son or the firstborn son
right.
who would be able to take over that position as king once their father died. And so, like you said, when they talk about my father David, they're mm-hmm. not talking about their father, they're talking about their ancestor David.
Right.
The one that the promise was given to.
That's right.
And we talked about it that there would be a king, he would do good, and then the next king, he would do bad. Now, I don't know why they would flip-flop like that. They'd come a king, and he would do right in the sight of God. Then there would be another king who would let that power go to his head,
right.
and he would do what was not right. And the king before him, who was that last week we talked about? Ahaz did not do right in the sight of God. He started out
on fire, but
right, but somewhere along the line he went
ziggity boom.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
and so now we see Hezekiah, and Hezekiah understands the assignment that is upon him, and so Hezekiah begins to cleanse the temple because the temple had been used for idol worship.
That's right,
and the things for God that were set up in the temple, some of them hadn't been used in years.
Absolutely.
They said that no incense had been burned in the temple. They said no sacrifices had been made in the temple. And so now it was time for Hezekiah to do that. I'll go.
No, you're good. All right. Well, we see that this chapter is, go ahead, Lady Kim, little Coco is trying to get her attention for some reason, and so she's trying to investigate and see what that might be. But we find out that Hezekiah is trying to live up to the charge and the mandate, and he's trying to fulfill his assignment in terms of being faithful to what God would have him to do. And so I always look for a way to make it relevant, because as Lady Kim just indicated, many times we can become full of ourselves and we think that it's about us, and we think that we are the one that holds the strings, if you will. But God yet navigates the process, and we have to make sure that we stay in tune with what God is trying to get done in our lives and in our situations, and not get ahead of God, not do things our way. But if we stay consistent, and the Bible says obedience brings the reward. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience will open up the doors for you. Obedience to that word, even when it looks like another way might be more profitable, obedience is the way that really pleases God. And when we stay obedient, when we stay on track in terms of being faithful to the challenge, being faithful to the assignment that God has given us, then we will see very powerful and productive results. And so, Lady Kim, I was just talking about how important it is for us to make this word relevant for us even today, and understanding how, as leaders, we must stay the course and continue to be faithful and trust the timing of God. Mm-hmm. And we know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if God has assigned us a task, assigned us to do a thing, he'll provide the provisions that's necessary in order for that to happen. But many times we let our eyes wander and we drift, and we start listening more to people than we do to God, and we end up in a bad place every time.
Amen.
Yeah.
One of the things I appreciate about Hezekiah, even though his father had done wicked things, mm-hmm, in God's sight, he was on task. He stayed on task. He knew that. He said, "For our fathers have trespassed and done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord God." So, you know, even children know the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
right.
When he was growing up under his father, he knew that what his father was doing,
something was not right.
It wasn't right. Mm-hmm. And so when he became the king, when he inherited the throne, he already had it in his heart and mind that he was going to do right.
Well, at 25, he had seen enough to really kind of help steer him in the right direction if he was following the path that God had laid for.
Amen.
Let's go ahead and pick it up, Lady Kim, in verse number 16. We see that Hezekiah is now cleansing the temple. And I indicated, and we can come back to that at another time, the Levites, he chose some of the Levites to take on a different assignment. Levites were out of the priests came out of the tribe of the Levites. Mm-hmm. And many times they had that responsibility, but not all Levites, as you indicated, were priests. Mm-hmm. And so we see here he used those out of that particular tribe to go in and burn the incense and prepare the house even after they had cleansed it.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. We're in the 2 Chronicles 29, verse 16. The priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And they brought out all the unclean things that they had found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took them and carried them out to the Wadi Kidron. They began to sanctify on the first day of the first month. And on the eighth day of the month, they came to the vestibule of the Lord. Then for 8 days, they sanctified the house of the Lord. And on the 16th day of the first month, they finished. Then they went inside to King Hezekiah and said, "We have cleansed all of the house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offerings and all its utensils, and the table for the rolls of bread and all its utensils. All the utensils that King Ahaz reputed during his reign when he was faithless, we have made ready and sanctified. See, they are in front of the altar of the Lord.
Okay. So that's still a part of the cleansing that's happening. Right. Mm-hmm. And how people are being faithful in terms of their obedience to the charge that was before them. And the people out of the tribe of Levi were the ones who were initiating and leading the cleansing and burning the incense in the temple.
Amen. And here we see protocol is being followed, because the priest went in and then they brought the utensils out to the Levites, the ones who weren't priests, but who the tribe that all priests come from. Uh-huh. And so they gave the utensils to the Levites, and the Levites cleansed them. So it was still within that framework that God, the priestly role or the priestly tribe that
has that responsibility.
Absolutely.
So this is all in preparation of establishing the house for worship. Is that right?
Absolutely.
And so we'll see that in verse number 20.
Yes.
If you can pick it up there.
Yes.
How Hezekiah prepares to restore the temple,
for worship.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Verse 20. Then King Hezekiah rose early, assembled the officials of the city, and went up to the house of the Lord. They brought 7 bulls, 7 rams, 7 lambs, and 7 male goats for the sin offering for the kingdom and for the sanctuary and for Judah. He commanded the priests, the descendants of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. So they slaughtered the bulls, and the priest received the blood and dashed it against the altar. They slaughtered the rams, and their blood was dashed against the altar. They also slaughtered the lambs, and their blood was dashed against the altar. Then the male goats for the sin offering were brought to the king and the assembly. They laid their hands on them, and the priest slaughtered them and made a sin offering with their blood at the altar to make atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering should be made for all Israel. He stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and lyres, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and of the prophet Nathan. For the commandment was from the Lord through his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priest with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded that the burnt offering be offered on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the songs to the Lord began also, and the trumpets accompanied by the instruments of King David of Israel. The whole assembly worshiped. The singers sang and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. When the offering was finished, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshiped. King Hezekiah and the officials commanded the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and of the seer Asaph. They sang praises with gladness and they bowed down and worshiped. Then Hezekiah said, "You have now consecrated yourselves to the Lord. Come near. Bring sacrifices and thank offerings to the house of the Lord." The assembly brought sacrifices and thank offerings, and all who were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings. The number of the burnt offerings that the assembly brought were 70 bulls, 100 rams, 200 lambs. All these were for a burnt offering to the Lord. The consecrated offerings were 600 bulls and 3,000 sheep, but the priests were too few and could not skin all the burnt offerings. So until other priests had sanctified themselves, their kindred, the Levites, helped them until the work was finished. For the Levites were more conscious than the priests in sanctifying themselves. Beside the great number of burnt offerings, there was the fat of the offerings of well-being, and there were the drink offerings for the burnt offerings. Thus, the service of the house of the Lord was restored, and Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced because of what God had done for the people, for the thing had come about suddenly.
Suddenly.
Yes,
yeah, suddenly. It happened quickly.
Thank you, Lord.
God showed up and he affirmed what he had instructed them to do based upon their obedience to his word. And Hezekiah was willing to follow the direction that God had given, and cleansing the temple, preparing the people, getting the house ready for worship, offering the sacrifices. The protocol had been established, and now they have a right, a reason, and a responsibility to rejoice.
Amen.
And after Hezekiah grabbed the assembly, called the assembly together, then they began to give God praise for what he had done.
They played music. Hey, they had a worship service.
That's right.
Going
That's
on.
Right.
You know, they played music. They sang songs. Mm-hmm. They gave their offering.
That's right.
That sounds like a worship service
sounds
to
like
me.
It. That's right. And so Hezekiah really, Lady Kim, teaches us some very powerful lessons here as we're preparing to close out. We know that he inherited an unholy mess. We know that for
yes.
sure. And that was left by his father. But he repaired the temple, restored legitimate worship, removed the idols, repented for the people, and required a change in the land. And once the population or the people saw the example that he set, they followed. And at the end, as we said, Hezekiah and all of the people, they joined together and they gave God praise.
Amen.
So what would you say would be an overarching theme for us to take away from this particular chapter? For those of you just joining us, we're in 2 Chronicles 29, and we've already read the entirety of that chapter. I believe it was 36 verses there
yes.
that we shared. And so we're summarizing how Hezekiah was obedient and how he led by example, and how he really, the people saw how he had initiated the change and made it very easy for them to follow him, because mm-hmm. they no doubt felt his heart, mm-hmm. you know, and his Amen. Willingness to serve God.
Amen. Well, our lesson for us is we need to always strive to present a clean temple to God, you know, so that God won't be upset with us or
okay.
angry with us.
Okay.
And, you know, now Jesus has become, you know, back then they had to have sacrifices.
That's right. That's
for
right.
all types of things, the sin offering, and, you know, this offering, the free will offering, this offering, that offering.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus became the sacrifice
mm-hmm.
for us. So we no longer have to sacrifice bulls and goats and
right.
rams
right.
and doves and, you know, things like that. Jesus was our sacrifice. Aren't you glad Jesus became
I'm
our sacrifice? That we don't have to go to the temple and offer sacrifices and burnt offerings.
And Paul puts it this way. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices.
Amen.
Holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Then he goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, mm-hmm. but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so he sets the tone after, you know, Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice to let us know that we should present our bodies as living sacrifices. We are living epistles. We are to live by example. And people ought to see our light shining in such a way that they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we're following God and that we're doing what he would have us to do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. So we just need to keep our temples clean.
That's right.
Present it before the Lord.
You're not just talking about the church there.
Talking about our physical temples,
mm-hmm.
you know, free from sinfulness. You
okay.
know, that's what Hezekiah did. He cleaned mm-hmm. up He couldn't just throw the things away because they were made of gold and silver, precious metal with stones, mm-hmm. you know. And so he could not dispose of the things of God. And so that's why he had them cleaned up. And then after he had them cleaned up, then he rededicated the things to the Lord, to the house of the Lord. And so we need to clean up once we come to knowledge and the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to clean up mm-hmm. these old temples of ours present them to the Lord on a daily basis.
Okay,
that's good. A living sacrifice.
A living sacrifice. That's good. All right, well, Lady Kim, our time has really gotten away from us, but this was a powerful chapter, and next week we'll be in chapter number 30 as we prepare to move right through 2 Chronicles, and we'll see once again how Hezekiah is really setting things in motion and keeping and bringing back those things that are precious to God mm-hmm. and reestablishing order and making sure that the people understand process and protocol.
Amen.
And praise.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. Well, any prayer requests as we prepare to close out tonight? Thank each of you for participating. If you have prayer requests, go ahead and jot them down so that we can add them to our list of that the prayer warriors and intercessors will be praying around even on Wednesday and some even tomorrow morning. And so if you have prayer requests, go ahead and mention those as we prepare to close out tonight.
Mm-hmm. We want to lift up Sister Brown, Luberta Brown, and the loss of her brother. She'll be traveling this week to go to his funeral in Chicago.
Okay.
And so we pray traveling mercies for her and her family as they travel to Chicago to say their final goodbyes. And so we'll be lifting her up in our prayers. We want to lift up Jameson and Kayla, I think it's Jekiah, Isaac, both new members. They're both ill, so we want to lift them up in our prayers also, as well as all of the others that are sick and shut in on our list.
Okay. And I don't know if you added Thomas Doggett to the list or not.
Brother Thomas Doggett.
Right.
Absolutely.
We want to continue to pray his strength in the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Well, are there any others that you see, Lady Kim, requests?
Not on the feed. I don't see any prayer requests on the feed tonight. So,
okay.
Let's go to God in prayer as we close tonight. God, we thank you. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We thank you, God, for this study and this reminder that we need to clean up the sinful temples that we house, oh God. That we must present ourselves as living sacrifices to you. We thank you for this word tonight, God, and we ask that we continue to strive to do that which is right in your eyesight. We thank you for the reminder, oh God, that you died on the cross as our sacrifice so that we don't have to offer burnt offerings and sin offerings, God, but that you made propitiation for us on the cross and made us right with God the Father. But all that you require and ask of us is that we, oh God, clean up ourselves, our temples, oh God, and be right before you. So help us, oh God, to strive to do what's right in your sight.
Yes, God.
We thank you, oh God, that you are our ultimate sacrifice. And we love you for all that you've done for us to have a life everlasting. We pray for our bereaved families. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are struggling, oh God. And God, we ask that you would continue to provide all that we need in order so that we can provide for the needs of others. We thank you for ATOP Ministries, ATOP Church, ATOP Christian Church, and the ministries connected with it. Now, oh God, we ask that you would continue to bless us and keep us until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and praise God.
Thank you, everybody, for joining on tonight. Prayers for everyone grieving. Yes,
that's
this is a difficult time during the holiday season. Absolutely. For those who have lost loved ones. God bless you, and may God comfort and keep you during this season.
All right.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining. Love you guys.
Be blessed.
Bye-bye.